You better wake him up. Get him up, get him going on a Friday on B&E. That is right. We've reached the end of another long work week. And it's not just any Friday in the ATX in Central Texas and all over the great state of Texas. It is a All Hallows Eve Friday. That is right, Halloween Eve here on B&E. Tomorrow night will be Halloween. We'll have our first full moon on Halloween since 1944, which is pretty incredible. The Buck over there is going to be howling at the moon. It's going to be Halloween. The Longhorns have a huge game in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Will it be a ghoulish afternoon for the Horns in Stillwater? We will preview that game in the college football weekend. Certainly the big news from Clemson, South Carolina, Trevor Lawrence in the crosshairs of COVID. We will certainly talk about that situation the entire Saturday of college football, which is on tap beginning tomorrow. Sunday in the NFL, news from Major League Baseball, news from the NBA, and news from the recruiting front for the Longhorns, all things we will dive into as the Vice Titans on Tom Herman will dive in there. Plenty to do. It's going to be a beautiful day in Austin, Texas, after a blustery day yesterday, to say the least, as we get you into your weekend here on B&E. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins right now. Appreciate you being there. However you're finding us, always, early bird gets the worm on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolts.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for the great job that you do. We do appreciate it, believe me. And the Buzzards are at Tom Herman's heels, and all he needs to do is win a game to get him away from him for just a little while, at least for a week.
Buzzards are circling for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of our military installations and our great soldiers, and met and hung out with a lot of them yesterday out at Falcon Head Golf Course at the Comfort Crew for Military Children Golf Tournament with our buddy Woody Englander, our friend Colonel Craig Flowers from the High Ground on Saturday mornings. He was the MC of the event. Met a lot of America's finest for sure yesterday. Talked to a lot of great folks and had a good time. Now, my lips are chapped. A little worn out by the wind. That was unbelievable yesterday. Gale forced winds, it felt like yesterday out at the course. If you were outside, it was, I went to the beach for the day, but a cold beach. I almost can still feel the wind blowing.
Yeah, I made it pretty. I played out at in Georgetown, and it was, thank goodness, there's a lot of trees there. There's a lot of.
Not at Falcon Head.
No, there's none. That's pretty open at Falcon Head. And at Georgetown, you know, some of the putts, I hit some putts that were long putts, and I was hoping that they got close to the pin, and they just kept on going and going and going. And I was like, come on, man. What a beautiful golf course.
It's like the British Open or some level yesterday. Your putts, your ball would be sitting on the green, and it would just start blowing. We had a putt that we had, we were playing a team scramble, and you would hit it online, and the putt would blow 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That you had to read the wind to make a putt. It was pretty unbelievable. It wore you out over the course of 4 or 5 hours, but a great time, a lot of fun, and appreciate meeting all those great folks out there. And it was
they're
a good way to
folks.
Get the weekend underway. But you're right, the vice is tightening on Tom Herman. Pretty incredible as we get into our headlines here coming up, and we'll talk about the top stories, that Trevor Lawrence news and development, which may not only affect this weekend's game, but next weekend in a showdown with Notre Dame. But it's pretty amazing. You know, you have mentioned that and talked about the fact that if the Longhorns lose tomorrow, you think that'll be the end for Tom Herman. We've talked about, you know, the buzzard circling for the tenure of Tom Herman. Yesterday, right here on the Horn, on Shirts and Skins, Chad Hastings talked to Brian Jones, our former colleague and now one of the lead college football analysts at CBS Sports. He works up in New York. And he said, from what he's hearing from folks, you know, in college football circles, he said, quote, yes, it could happen quickly. I'm hearing it's going to happen quickly. Even if it doesn't happen, I'm hearing that the die is cast. Unfortunately, that's what they're saying. The word on the street, I'm not being nonchalant or cavalier about people's futures because that's the most difficult portion of our gig.
That's right.
But opining on people's livelihoods, but it's what I'm hearing, yes. Then meanwhile, in a similar conversation up in Dallas yesterday, Joel Klatt, who is the lead analyst on Fox, who works out in Los Angeles, said he's hearing the exact same thing. Said, meanwhile, analyst Joel Klatt echoed the sentiments, said, I've been told by people very much in the know that COVID-19 or not, the money is there, and this needs to turn around, and turning around means winning on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
so we're hearing it locally.
Yes.
And believe it locally. I just present that as that's the national conversation now. So Brian and Joel Klatt, I mean, they talk to a lot of folks in the inner workings of college. Well, so do we. And it's that's where it's at right now for Tom Herman and the Longhorns. And we'll get into the headlines coming up. But another decommitment on the recruiting front came down last night for the Longhorns. I mean, things are turning pretty sour, and safe to say Tom Herman needs a win in a bad way tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got to have that win. He really, really does. We'll talk about that this morning. But, you know, it's got to be an aggressive game plan. There's no doubt about it. If your rear end was out there, you'd do everything you could to save it, and you would come back with lack of excuses and come back with more answers than excuses, and that's what it'll have to do. And the only thing to do is go win a football game. Be the aggressor. Be the ones that get out with an offense and a defense that you can't play scared Saturday. And we'll all be able to tell if you're playing scared. It won't take us long to find out if you're scared and you're just trying to not lose a game instead of going to win a football game. And that still may not be enough because you're playing a really good football team.
Well, and the one line of Brian's statement, the die is cast, that's the thing. I mean, for me, you know, if they win tomorrow, that'd be great. But does that end all the conversation?
No, because it's just, remember,
it's one win.
It's one win. And for
now,
me,
it would be a big win.
If he loses another game, that's it.
He's got to win out.
Yeah, he needs to win out. He needs to be in a championship game.
I think that's
game.
Kind of the sentiment that most people have.
Yeah, got to be at the championship.
Well, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses. I mean, this game on tomorrow, we talked about earlier in the week, you know, is it fair to judge it on a trip into a top six team undefeated on the road? Tom Herman is in this spot because they lost games they shouldn't have lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to TCU and arguably Oklahoma.
Yeah, they put themselves right there.
And you know, and they won those games, which they, you know, should have. Their own mistakes, their own self-inflicted wounds cost them those games. Their own poor coaching cost them those games. Then you could go to Stillwater and lose that game and still turn around and play in the Big 12 title game because you'd be undefeated.
Once you're out of the Big 12 title game, you're done here. The excuse is people are so upset about the excuses that he comes up with on Mondays. They see right through it. You can't hide those anymore.
Well,
those are done. You have to win the games now.
And he's kind of like your former boss at Texas, John Makovic. He's created zero alliances with the people that matter at Texas. I mean,
yeah.
you and I don't matter, right? I mean,
no,
at the end of
no.
the day, we do a radio
no,
show.
We just
We've
get,
done it for
we
20
just get
years.
People fired, but we don't.
Yeah,
don't matter.
We get accused of that. But
yes.
As far as the big picture of things, you know, probably good to be. You know, we don't matter. The people that matter at Texas,
no, we
him,
don't matter.
The people he works with every day, the people that are just above him, he doesn't have support there. He doesn't have support from the money. He doesn't have support from the, and then the question becomes, does he have support from the locker room? Like, will his players go play for him? Everyone hears this. They understand how important this game is, and that'll be, you know, it's what we'll all be watching tomorrow at 3:00. Is what is this team? I mean, because Tom Herman typically in his short head coaching career, this is when his teams play the best, when they're underdogs, when their backs are against the wall, when they're doubted, they typically show up and play well. Tom Herman's issue has been beating teams when they're supposed to win, right? He's lost seven times as a ranked team versus an unranked team at Texas. He's, when they're the favorites, is typically when they let down in this spot. Typically, they've been good. Now, can they build that and get ready for tomorrow's game and show up and play a really good game? It'll be really interesting to see
how this
team shows up tomorrow.
No, I think this team is very much like its head coach right now. Very laxed in how they prepare for games because we see it on Saturdays. There's nothing to tell me that they're going to just get fired up and go win a game. We watched it even last week late in the game when they gave up two touchdowns later in the game when they should have put their foot on a team's throat and just ended the game. They got lackadaisical. This is just a lackadaisical team. And coached by a guy who has a lot of excuses, and I don't see the team coming back to battle for Tom Herman.
Well,
I just don't see it.
That'll be really, really interesting tomorrow at 3:00. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. Obviously, it's a top story. Other top stories, trending topics on a Friday, All Hallows Eve. Let's dive in. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK brings you the news. Believing is seeing. That is absolutely true. On the recruiting front, hits just keep on coming for the Longhorns. Word last night that 4-star wide receiver Faison Wilson from Lancaster, Texas, is decommitted from Texas. He's part of the class of 2022. He will reopen his commitment. That decision follows and is directly related to 5-star quarterback Quinn Ewers, who ended his 2.5-month pledge to the Longhorns on Wednesday. Elsewhere in college football, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for COVID-19. He will miss tomorrow's game for the Tigers against Boston College. That, according to head coach Dabo Swinney, according to ACC protocols, he will now be in isolation for the next 10 days. The Heisman Trophy frontrunner tested positive Wednesday, which means his availability for Tigers game a week from tomorrow against fourth-ranked Notre Dame is also uncertain. That game scheduled for South Bend. NFL Week 8 opened last night in Charlotte. The Atlanta Falcons held on for a 25-17 win over the Carolina Panthers. Matt Ryan threw for 281 yards and a touchdown, and the Atlanta defense held the Panthers to just a field goal in the second half as they rallied to win it and improved to 2-6. Carolina falls to 3-4 on the year for head coach Matt Rhule. Major League Baseball, Detroit Tigers expected to name former Astros manager A.J. Hinch as their new skipper after he has served his one-year suspension for his role in the sign-stealing scandal with the Astros. He's back, and we will now post up in the south side of Chicago, in Detroit. Meanwhile, south side of Chicago, White Sox, a blast from the past. They have named Hall of Famer Tony La Russa to be their next manager. The 76-year-old last managed with the St. Louis Cardinals back in 2011. His first managerial job was with the White Sox way back in 1979. And in the NBA down in Houston, it's official now. The Houston Rockets have named Steve Silas as their new head coach to replace Mike D'Antoni.
This segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Now offering all laser LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing.
You know, I'm just hoping that more than anything for Saturday's game that Sam Ehlinger is healthy enough to get through a game and do the things that he needs to do, because he'll be very important in this football game as he is in every game for the Longhorns. But I mean with his legs. I saw him limping around last week, and they haven't said much about how he is. He took a really big shot in the kidney area by that crazy linebacker from Baylor who just was everywhere.
Yeah.
And he took a big shot. And he was just kind of okay during the course of the game. And his ability to do the things on the ground, because expectations are the run game's not going to get going without Sam being a part of that run game, you know, with all the substitutions and what they do. So they need a healthy Sam. They need an aggressive game plan. They can't coach scared. They've got to let reverses and double passes and things like that. They got to do it. I mean, you're trying to win the game. This is not a game for let's stay close and then let's make excuses for COVID on Monday and we didn't have enough time for this, because your fan base doesn't want any more excuses. They want to see W's now, and they don't care if it's by a field goal. They want to see you win a game, and they want to see that you really have this team behind you, because they don't play like they're behind you. They march downtown for you. You've opened up the doors for a lot of good things for your football players. But what people want to see now is, do your football players give it back to you on the football field? Are they willing to give you that, coach? Now they've given you all the social things that you wanted and they wanted, but are they willing to give it to you? Because this is supposed to be a talented team, so let's go win some games. That's kind of where I am. You know, if they win this game or they lose to a K-State, I still feel the same way. This is championship or nothing for me. And like you said, they got the money. You know, money's never a problem. And you feel bad for people that are being furloughed, but you can't tell people what to do with their money. If they got millions and they want to get rid of your coach and they want to do the buyout, and you say, well, hundreds of people are being furloughed, they don't care. It's hard to tell people what to do with their cash, you know?
Well,
it just is.
I mean, look, the Texas program has forever been a political, you know, swamp. I mean, what other word to put on it? You realize, if you go back into the 70s, I don't want to go too far in your history lesson, but when Darryl Royal left, right, he wanted Mike Campbell, his defensive coordinator, to be the head coach, right? And powers that be at Texas stepped in and hired Fred Akers, which splintered the program for decades. You realize Fred Akers came in 1977, Earl Campbell, this is when you were playing college football.
Yes.
Earl Campbell won the Heisman Trophy, and they went undefeated, lost to Notre Dame in a bowl game. And there was a group of prominent boosters of Houston who wanted to fire Fred Akers after an undefeated season.
I think he was an 80% winner here.
So
at
I'm
Texas.
Just saying that this has always been in a case at Texas. If the big money is not on your side,
yes,
you have. I mean, that's how, like, after an undefeated season and a Heisman Trophy and a simple bowl loss to Notre Dame in 1977. They didn't get it done, but they tried to fire Fred Akers and buy him out and go, you know, the palace coup and then unseat Fred Akers because Darryl Royal didn't get his wish and didn't get Mike Campbell as the new head coach. I mean, that splintered the program for two decades. It was Mac Brown who came back and united the program, built on DeLoss Dodds and the Longhorn Foundation all the way with it. And then you watched, you know, 15 or 12 years of the most prosperous run of Texas football since the 60s for Texas. now it's back to being a splintered program. And I mean, you could argue it's as splintered as it was then, because they aren't happy with that, because there was a group of prominent Dallas boosters who tried to hire Nick Saban and when Mack Brown was on his way out.
Right.
That got, halted by the athletic department and powers that be and Mack Brown. So you didn't get the greatest, you know, the money says we didn't get the greatest coach of all time when we had it lined up, teed up to go, and we didn't do it. So we hired Charlie Strong, and then we hired Tom Herman, and things are not getting better. They're getting worse. To your point about the people with money are going to do what people with money are going to do, no matter if it's COVID or pandemic or whatever, this has always been the case at Texas. And the problem for Tom Herman is not only is he not coaching very well, his teams are, I mean, to your point about will this team rally for him, I would argue the other side. His job is to teach. His job is to coach the team and train the team to be ready to play. They're not. That's his job. That's what they're paying him $6 million for, is to hire a staff, train the players, coach the players, teach the players how to play football at a high level, and put them on the football field every Saturday. They're not. So he's lost support for the basic fundamentals of the game, but he's never curried favor with the money, the people that matter, and now he's alienated his bosses and the people that matter in the athletic department with the Eyes of Texas situation, where he was told to handle a situation that didn't get handled, that turned really ugly. That's gotten ugly in the athletic department. So now here you are on a Friday before Halloween at a crossroads where you, if you lose the game tomorrow to a very good team, a team that's ranked sixth in the country, brings the best defense in your conference and has talent all over the place on offense, if you don't win that game, I've been told that it could be over in the middle of the season because it's gotten so ugly and frayed within the athletic department of Texas. That could happen Sunday or Monday.
People like to hear your voice heard, but I don't know, this is Texas. Activism and things like that's nice for young people as they grow up and want to be activists, but what they want is winning football here.
That's right.
And kind of the truth. I mean, you can be an activist and still play winning football.
Sure.
But you can't have your activism that far in front, and then on Saturday, when you come to school and they do scholarships for E, and you don't perform on the football field, because maybe one thing is weighed a little too much than the other right now. They want your football team to win games. And their expectations, if they're paying that guy $6 million and a bunch of guys $700,000 and $500,000 with three-year and two-year contracts, is they will get this that part of the job done. And you can have your activism, but dude, you can't just go one way. That's not what they're going to let you do here at Texas. It's not going to happen. People are going to be very disgruntled, and they are. And they're disgruntled. They're really disgruntled the fact that now, you know, even through all this time that you and I have been around with John Makovic, with Mack Brown, with Charlie Strong, they still have found ways to hold on to recruits. These recruits are diving out of here now. It's a weird feeling that some of the guys are just saying, you know what, this is too messed up over there. And you know how you fix it? Sorry, I mean, the politics are always going to be the politics here, but winning football games is what kind of cures things.
Well, and the silence is ominous. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you have not heard from outside of his Tuesday Eyes of Texas Insider. When was the last time you actually heard public comment from the athletic director at the University of Texas?
Oh no, he's been very
very quiet.
Yeah,
very, very quiet.
For quite a while, yes.
Since we talked to him the Thursday before the UTEP game on this show, and I believe that's really because I was talking to some media members yesterday, that's the last time he's had public comment. Like, he writes his in. I know his wife's been ill. He's been dealing with family issues, Chris Del Conte. But, you know, Tom Herman does a news conference every Monday and answers questions. Players like Sam Ehlinger have a news conference at player availability on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Both coordinators do their availabilities on Wednesdays. Chris Del Conte has not had a public forum where he answers questions from media or anyone.
Well,
you
for
and
all
I,
we know, with the powers that be, he may be under some heat too.
Well, that's what that silence to me is it's just weird that he is not, because there's been a lot going on. Safe to say, right? There's been a lot happening. It's a program in unrest right now. It's a fractured program, and the man in charge of athletics has not spoken publicly, to my knowledge. I mean, and he's not had a press conference. He's not doing Zoom calls. There's no comment. He writes his 40-acre insider, but that's really a kind of a fluff thing that, you know, here, rah, 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 here we go, Longhorns, at TexasSports.com. But he has not answered direct questions from folks who cover the program really since September, early September.
Yeah, my deal is
now almost November.
Yeah, my deal is, has this team been coached well enough? You know, throughout all the things, whether it's the eyes of Texas, social unrest, Corona, has this team been coached well enough by a guy who makes an awful lot of money and a staff that makes an awful lot of money?
Well, see, that's the thing, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the protests of the summer have nothing to do with being 3-2. It's bad coaching. And the bad coaching was happening before the social protests this summer.
Right.
And that's why seven coaches who helped Tom Herman get this job were let go last year.
He let go of some of his friends.
And did it in an ugly way. We've talked about this, but it bears revisiting that Tom Herman, when he fired a lot of the coaches that he brought from Houston, he didn't go face to face with them to tell them that they were being fired. Todd Orlando told the defensive staff that they were all fired. Tom Herman never had a meeting with those coaches to say,
I'm sorry, we've been friends for a while.
He had a phone conversation with Craig Kniever, but never. I mean, you coach with those guys for a long time.
Yes.
They helped you get this job. You can't even go face to face with the guys and tell them that this is the direction we're going. We're changing course here. I don't want to say it's remarkable, but it is remarkable. But it's not surprising knowing that Tom Herman was moving on. You know, that's kind of his way. But it's why he doesn't have support right now. That's the whole point. Like his handling of things, his lack of social connection and the ability to lead people is why he's in this spot. How can you already be getting let go of, $6 million, seven new coaches, year four? It's because you don't have any allies. You don't have any alliances. You watch Survivor, right? I mean, not to make it trite about a reality show.
No, it's real.
But survival's about, at a place like Texas, it's about allies. It's about creating alliances that support you. So when things get tough like they are, you have advocates who are pushing for you. He doesn't have any. When you consider that, he doesn't have any.
Well, he needs to come up with a really good game plan tomorrow. And I'm really interested in seeing where they, I keep hearing about how the defense has gotten better. Well, somebody's got to step up and tell me that you like your coach. Let me know that you like this guy. And a lot of it's going to be on you guys as players, but it all comes down to the head coach tomorrow. I'd love to say players, you need to play. But by the way, those guys on the other side may be just better than you are right now. So I'm going to put this on the coaches to scheme some things to help out these players that may not be as good as the ones at Oklahoma State. That's hard to say. But, as Tom Herman said, man, that's a veteran team. Well, you're the second most veteran team in the Big 12, and your rankings is like in the middle of the pack, almost down below. So what's that mean for you? You're not a young team anymore. You can never say that, we're young. No, you're the second oldest team in the Big 12 behind the team that you're playing tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And because Mike Gundy certainly has an identity with his team. They know what they are. They play great defense. They're going to run the ball with Chuba Hubbard. They're going to, if you stack the box to stop the run, they're going to throw. If you play the pass because they've got good receivers on the outside, they're going to run. They have an identity, something Texas hasn't developed around Sam Ehlinger to this point of the year.
And I just hope he's healthy enough to put on an unbelievable show tomorrow, because they'll need every bit of him. And he has to be an accurate passer. He has to be a really good runner, because our expectations are they're not going to be able to run the ball, so he has to be part of that running game.
Well, how healthy is Sam, though? You said that. How healthy is he?
He just didn't look that good. He took some hits.
He got hammered against Baylor. I mean, he took a lot of shots in that game, and we'll see how healthy Sam can be in that game. All right, so a lot of conversations. It is the Halloween Eve. We'll have some fun. We'll talk about your favorite scary movies of all time. We will also get into what are the best Halloween costumes for the year? What are the, like I mentioned yesterday, Houston Astro fans to be flippant wearing trash cans, dressing up as trash cans. We like this? With A.J. Hinch coming back to baseball, that's a good one.
Little arms sticking out the side.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like Oscar the Grouch or something. Your favorite Halloween costumes. We'll have some fun with that as well. Lighten the mood. It's a big game for tomorrow for the Longhorns. We've got the Trevor Lawrence situation. Playing your alma mater tomorrow, Buck. Boston College. We'll dive into that. Big news from college football.
Big upset tomorrow.
Oh, boy. We'll be back. Plus, Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've got your B&E fact of the day. It's B&E on a Friday.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Yuck. Yuck.
Oh, man, it's Halloween Eve. All Hallows Eve, as they say. Or
what's that guy's name? Erod Sterling?
Rod Sterling.
I think his name the Twilight Zone, Rod Sterling.
You know,
not
I
Rod Steiger, Rod Sterling.
Rod Steiger.
Yeah, Rod Sterling is, I think, his name. And that, I used to sit there and listen to him before that would come on and listen to what he was saying right there. And I'd be scared as hell before the thing even started. Just his voice. It was just awful. I don't like scary stuff.
I'll say this. I've never seen an episode of The Twilight Zone. I have not.
Really?
No. Like, I can say that honestly. I've never, and not that I, like, avoided it because I was afraid of it. I said never.
Just never, it would never interest you.
Well, I think
it just seems supernatural.
I think I was too young.
Yeah, I probably were, yeah.
When it was popular.
Yeah, I was old enough just to be scared as hell of everything.
Yeah, so it is, it's a scary time for Tom Herman. It's a scary time in the country, and it's Halloween Eve. It's going to be a full moon on Halloween for the first time in a long time, 1944. Last time there was an actual full moon on Halloween. So we'll take your thoughts on your favorite Halloween. What's the scariest movie? CB on the text line says, no doubt about it, it is The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Which I know that's your scariest movie.
Yeah, that's
of all
my
time.
Scariest movie, but scariest kind of scare you like a trick or treat or somebody's in the house kind of deal. I was always afraid of Dracula movers, Count Dracula. That some of those, you know, Bela Lugosi always kind of, he was just a creepy dude, you know what I mean? And I liked it. You'd see people on the streets that look like Bela Lugosi, you know what I mean? Without the makeup.
I'm much more a fan of like really intense dramas than I am like horror movies. Like for whatever reason, horror movies, I was always able to like suspend reality. Like, come on, this is like Halloween scary.
You could get that out of your
like
mind.
But like a really well done suspenseful drama, like Silence of the Lambs, right? That's suspenseful to me. That's scary. Yeah. Like, holy cow, how's this going to end? You mentioned Get Out.
Yeah. That.
Remember Get Out? I mean, the great Jordan Peele film, which is kind of a comedy, but it's also... It's also intense, right? It's like, those are the ones that put me on the edge of my seat. The ones that are really, really intense and well done.
That had comedy and everything in it. That was a funny movie to me because it went off as a comedy, did it not? Wasn't it? It was supposed to be, it ended up being a comedy.
Well,
it
was called
did.
A comedy.
Yes.
Because there were funny parts.
Oh, hell yeah, there
but
was.
But that movie wasn't funny. That movie was disturbing. That movie was... thought-provoking. That movie was...
No, don't go to her house. That's
can I
all
just say that
know.
Our producer, Isaiah Collier, TMZ, he is engaged.
Yes.
And within his fiancé's family, he's been called Get Out.
Yeah, for a dark-skinned brother like myself, that is very terrifying. Absolutely.
don't go to her house. That's,
don't go
that's
to her house.
Yeah. I did. Family's fine. They're all good.
For now.
For now, till you get in the family.
Oh, man.
And your brains aren't the same.
Like this says, No Country for Old Men. Yes, that's one. That
sure.
Movie scares the hell out of me. Like, golly. That
I was
movie.
I was afraid of the birds.
I can't
you
stop.
You know, Alfred Hitchcock, the birds. I have never seen Psycho before. I've never seen the movie. I've never seen the new one.
The Bates Motel?
No. That's one that I don't need that in the shower. That's why I take tubs so I can see everybody coming. I don't pull shower curtains. I don't like that. I've never seen Psycho. I mean, that's one I got to see sometime. What was the movie where the lady was blind? Shirley, she was in her home, and this guy, she was behind a refrigerator.
Ooh,
she was blind.
I didn't know this movie.
And there was a killer that tried to kill her. And you imagine being blind in the, well, you're in the dark anyway, but this dude was in the dark. She made sure all the lights was off. And I don't remember that, but that was kind of terrifying to me. I get scared easy. I don't like movies that scare me. I don't know why people like to be scared. I don't get that. My wife likes scary movies.
I like the adrenaline of an edge of your seat film. I mean, I really do. I don't like the gore and the horror and the you know, that stuff doesn't interest me as nearly as much as a well done, like suspenseful drama film that's really good. Because there's a good mix there. If you find like The Shining. You know, that's not a horror movie.
There's another one I haven't watched all the way through ever.
Usually Stephen King, like Pet Sematary, right? Movies like that are like Stephen King's a weird dude. I mean, that guy's like an acid trip.
Got halfway with Pet Sematary, turned it off, and have never seen the end of it.
With the road and the semis
nope,
and the cat?
Nope, no, 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 no. No, after the semi went by, that was it. I just don't finish them out. You know,
you can't finish it.
That movie's called Wait Until Dark.
Ooh,
with the lady who's blind in there.
Kathy Bates in the movie Misery. That's a good. Remember the movie Misery with James?
I've seen that all the way through,
dude. That movie freaks me out every time.
But it doesn't come across as a heart.
No, but it's a suspenseful drama. Like it's like this lady's freaking crazy.
I can watch that.
She just broke his ankles. She hobbled that dude.
Gave him cankles. Yes, I did watch that. I've watched that a few times. For some odd reason, I could see that one.
Yeah, those are the movies that I will go back to and over again. But you wouldn't call them horror movies. Some people love the whole genre of the horror films.
Sure, like Halloween.
Oh yeah. Well, of the genre of horror films, is Halloween the best, or is it Friday the 13th? Is it Nightmare on Elm Street with Freddy Krueger? Which franchise would be the best? I think it's Halloween.
I would
right?
say
it's
Halloween.
It's got Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Yes. It's yes. A young Jamie Lee Curtis at that time. Yeah. Halloween was good. I guess most of them were pretty good.
Poltergeist. Did you ever see that?
Nope. I don't like
that. Was bad.
I don't like devils and TVs and kids. I don't like all that. No, there's just certain things you don't do them. I've never seen any of those.
No. I didn't say horror movies, by the way, Chris. I said horror movies.
No, oh, not horror movies, no.
Horror movies. This says the first Saw movie is a good one. It says, E, you want scary? True life story of Tom Herman. See, that's Tom Herman's got enough heat at this point.
He doesn't need to be in a scary movie now.
Tom Herman is in the movie Dead Man Walking.
Yeah, right? He's also 25 million in Walking, whatever.
We'll see. Tomorrow it's Oklahoma State. And I also want to ask this, and we'll explain why as we get going this morning, but how many of our audience, in the Show of the People audience, which is very large, we appreciate you every single
Thank
day.
Thank you very much.
How many of you are married but sleep occasionally in a different room from your wife just for a good night's sleep?
Different.
Different room. How many of our audience does that? I do not.
When I was married, my first marriage, I wanted to be Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore. I asked my wife, I said, do you mind if we're in the same rooms, if we had two twin beds or two... Oh, I did. She was like, what are you talking about? I said, you know how Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore and the Dick Van Dyke Show would have, they would be talking to each other, but they would be in,
right.
They'd be, you know, if they wanted to do their thing, they'd get in one bed, but
sure.
But then Dick Van Dyke would go to his bed and go to sleep. And I'm thinking, that's kind
of
comfortable.
I do know of married couples who are happy to sleep in different rooms. They're happily married, but to get a good night's sleep, they separate after, You know,
after, yeah, activities.
If there are activities, that's one thing. But then to sleep, sleep's important.
Well, I'm very much like Chad Hastings. My body heat is really, I'm really, like, really hot-blooded. So if you get up against me, you're going to end up getting all sweaty and stuff. And so that's not comfortable for certain people. But it's comfortable for me. You know what I mean?
Right. So I'm asking that because I think you should have slept in a different bed last night.
I slept upstairs on the couch. I wasn't very happy.
And you didn't
get any
sleep.
I didn't get any sleep last night.
None,
because upstairs where my new place is, there's no bathroom because there's one room up there. So you have to come down. And I'm old, and I pee a lot at night. So I go down 18 steps to go down to get to the bathroom.
Dang.
Yes.
Struggling.
Why didn't you sleep in your own bed?
Because I couldn't do things like with the fan that I normally do or my sound machine. Things were, I got some stuff vetoed. You know what I mean?
Couldn't have your fan on?
Nope.
Couldn't have your sound machine that makes like the motion, like the ocean?
Nope.
Nope.
And I couldn't get my other little mini fan that I brought back from here. I got three strikes and I'm out of there. That's not good, man. That's not. And you know, yesterday we were playing golf. No, windy. It feels like you were like.
I crashed it and I didn't even. I got home from the golf tournament. I was asleep by 9:15. The wind just tore me up yesterday.
And you're tired. And you're exhausted.
I'm still tired.
Yeah.
My lips are chapped.
I'm tired too.
And you didn't sleep.
No.
But so, I mean, I'm just asking because I think it's okay that if you're happily married.
I don't think so. I don't think ladies like the fact that they don't want you going in separate rooms.
This guy does this all the time for 30 years. 30 years.
And if you're not cuddling and hugging
right.
up, what's
the
difference? What's the point?
Well, if one's not sleeping well because of... As you just said, you don't get your fan, you don't get your
Oh, you mean like the one
machine.
Who gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning? You mean the one who gets up at 3:45 every day? Don't you think that's the one who should be sleeping?
Ooh, wow.
do the two separate comforters. That's what we do.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean, you have your own blankets?
Yep.
I do two. I mean, I have one, and then she has one and a half. But I'm, like I said, I'm warm, so I'm good with that one, but.
All right. It says we only sleep in different rooms if we're having tummy issues, especially if we've had ice cream. We're both lactose intolerant. That, well, see, there you go. You know, you don't want to be, fumigating each other. That's not nice either. That's
quite pretty, a night, it sounds like. That's quite How a, romantic is that one?
We both had ice cream and are lactose intolerant. We sleep in different rooms.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it. We need your thoughts on that because the Buck didn't get much sleep last night. We will talk about it. We'll have the BNE Fact of the Day coming more on this, circling around Tom Herman, the conversations being had, and reset those. We will also hear from Texas offense coordinator Mike Yurcich and their trip to Stillwater. He's going back to Stillwater. Of course, he was the OC there for 6 years before going to Ohio State and then out of Texas. So the return of Mike Yurcich to Stillwater. All things we're talking about on a busy Friday. It's BNE on the Horn. Oh my gosh. There it is, Buck.
It's a dinner at Trey Elling's house.
Oh, hey. The Exorcist. Hey, Isaiah Collier, are you a horror movie fan?
Hell no.
Hell no.
Nope.
Not just no, but heck no. All right. A lot of folks weighing in on sleeping in separate rooms as spouses. This is my wife typically passes out on the couch watching Real Housewives, so yes, we sleep apart quite often. This says, when I'm at home, I will sleep in my bed. If my wife has an issue, she can scram. That's a good one. This says, I really miss sleeping in the guest room, but my mother-in-law has been staying with us for the last 2 months. Hashtag ready for a good night's sleep.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. It says, having your own blankets is a key to a good night's sleep, because Bucky didn't sleep very good last night. He didn't sleep at all, you said.
No, not really.
Come
no.
on.
You walked in here on me, and I was asleep.
I know. You were asleep in your chair. I'm like, you all right?
My chair, asleep, just out like a light.
Says, yeah, my husband slept in a separate room for 2 years. He liked it so much, he now moved out. Sorry to hear that.
There's a lot of people that just, it's, you know, you do your business, and then you, yeah, but a lot of people just don't, the cuddle thing is played out. It really is. It's hard to sleep with your leg over somebody and all that stuff.
Who does that?
It's hard to do.
Who cuddles?
You do when you first get, when you first date, yeah,
you can
do all
cuddle,
that stuff.
But then it's time to go to bed. Then when it's time to sleep, you got to go to
sleep. Then you turn your back and go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
And a good night's sleep is important. We
it
talked
is?
About that during the
is it?
During the Rona. You know, you want to stay, your immune system, you get your good 7-8 hours if you can. Now, you and I don't get that because we're lucky to get a good 5 or 6 because we get up so early. But you got to get a good night's sleep. That's important.
But I go to sleep very early. But my deal is I'm not I hear everything that moves. I'm a very light sleeper. I want to know everything that's going around. I want to know which cat is looking in the window. I want to know what was that sound all the way at the garage. I can hear. I don't see very well, but I really can hear really well. And hearing really well sometimes sucks because it makes you just over anxious about things. So I'm not saying I'm not happy about it. I'm glad I can hear it. People's conversations at restaurants, like, 8 tables over. That's okay.
We got bionic hearing.
It's just great.
Just
sometimes.
Learning this after all these
years.
Yeah,
man.
Hey, you know what really kind of sucks is the Trevor Lawrence news. We'll get to that coming up. He has been tested positive for COVID-19, which means he will miss the Clemson game tomorrow with Boston College. They're a 31-point favorite.
Oh, look out. Look out, Clemson.
But we'll see.
Not really.
Now, the bigger issue for Clemson, they can probably beat Boston College without Trevor Lawrence because they're very talented. Travis Etienne and the rest, great defense. But the bigger issue is a week from tomorrow, they're scheduled to play at South Bend, Indiana against the 4th-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish. With a 10-day protocol, think about this for Clemson right now. With a 10-day protocol, he tested positive on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 10 days from Wednesday is exactly Saturday or Friday of next week. So is he going to be able to play? No, it's Saturday. Will he be able to play against Notre Dame?
Let me ask you this. Probably not, right? Well, when you're there, can you go out and throw balls somewhere? I mean, can you?
He can't be at the facility. He's got to be quarantined, isolated. Okay, he can't practice. He can't be with the team.
He can he Zoom. Go isolate himself in a field somewhere and just throw balls?
Sure.
I mean, just not be around?
Sure. And he can Zoom with the coaches so he can be up to date with the game plan. I mean, just like being in the meeting room.
But he can get his throws in. I don't care if it's into a tire or whatever.
But he may have to fly himself. How's he going to get there? Because he can't fly on the team plane. I mean, for 10 days, he cannot be around the team. That's the ACC
rule. And he can't fly in a regular plane if he's got that. No, he can't. He'll have to take...
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. How does he get to South Bend?
Well, somebody's going to...
He can't travel with a team by rule.
Correct. Well, somebody's going to be a sacrificial driver and sacrifice
getting
Rona.
Can a rich dude put him on his private plane?
Of course he can.
Is that legal?
Oh,
is that a booster benefit?
That is a booster benefit. I'm sorry about that.
But he hitchhike?
Hey, that doesn't mean, hey, you, assistant trainer, hey, guess where you're going this weekend? Where am I going? Am I going with the team? Yeah, you're gonna drive to the game. You're not gonna be in the plane with us.
In all seriousness, that's
but
you know
we've got Trevor here.
We talked about it in the preseason. Like Notre Dame was one of my picks to make the Final Four before the Big Ten rejoined the conversation, and here they are sitting at number four. And we said way back in September, in August, that's one of the biggest games of the college football year. I mean, along with the LSU Georgia game, or excuse me, Alabama Georgia game, which was a huge game. This is Ohio State, Michigan.
Remember how I told you how Nick Saban will be on the sideline for that Saturday's
you
game?
You did.
Trevor Lawrence will be at the Notre Dame game, playing on the football field.
Understood.
Okay.
Understood.
Yes.
I agree. I'm
trying
to figure out how.
I don't know how.
Because he's Nick. This is a player. This is a student athlete.
He'll be in that game.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah, he's going to be playing in that game.
Okay, well he's got to get himself there then.
Did you watch the game last night? Speaking of bad games, can Teddy Bridgewater throw a ball past 15 yards?
He threw
at all?
Threw a flea flicker for a touchdown. Yeah, the Panthers looked pretty good in the first half, not in the second. And it kind of sucks to be an Atlanta Falcons fan. We'll explain why when we come back. First, so let's get to your B&E fact of the day. Oh, no fact of the day.
No fact of the day.
The fact of the day is that there is no fact of the day.
Okay, there you go.
I will tell you that we'll hear from Brian Jones coming back. He is hearing from his perch in New York that the buzzards are circling around Tom Herman and his tenure at Texas. Also, another national analyst weighing in on Coach Herman and his future with the Longhorns. Also, we'll hear from Mike Yurcich, his return to Stillwater for the first time as the OC at Texas. All that coming on a busy Friday, All Hallows Eve on B&E.